All right, nice to have you back with us on the Sunday morning. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. Thanks for getting up early today.
Well, yeah, thanks for getting me up early. It's always nice to get an early start. All good.
Yeah, you know, we're a little bit off our schedule. Ron Wotus was with us, but he had to make the bus early this morning, so that's why we're off schedule a little bit. But, Bruce, last night, what can you say? I mean, we've watched a lot of baseball in our lives, and we've seen these magical seasons and these games you circle and all that. And last night was another one.
Yeah, they've done so much, you know, on their own to earn these wins. They got a really big break last night when they're down to their last out, and LaStella hits a fly ball to right, and somehow Garcia just completely botched it. He had a couple chances to catch it, it looked like, and he just didn't. And you know, the next thing you know, we're going to extra innings, and so many things from last night. The thing that stands out is just, you know, Chris Bryant. I mean, Right off the bat, he makes a great diving stop going to his left. He throws out Garcia. There's a runner on second at the time. Then he gets in the sixth inning, that patented one-arm dead pull stroke. He singles to left. He leads off the ninth with a solid single. And, you know, then when they put it away in the 11th, he hits an RBI double. I mean, he was just relentless the entire game. He's been such a good pickup. And last night, he just sort of somehow elevated himself in that whole trade. And, of course, Belt getting a couple low-end pitches and hitting them out in big spots, that's such a big thing for the club. And you can see the gratification on his face afterward when they interviewed him, Hunter Pence interviewing him, which was great. You know, he's really thrilled that things have worked out so well, so quickly for him coming back. So that's just a couple of things. And, you know, the bullpen was mostly fantastic. I mean, they've got a bunch of guys who've worked 3 days in a row. I don't know what they do today, but, you know, they do have Watson who came in. That was a little bit forgotten, I guess. But at one point in the game, Littell was out there, and when they announced Yelich, I think it was in the seventh, Kapler goes to Watson and strikes out Yelich on a fastball up and in. So it's good to see Watson, you know, still has the kind of stuff that made him made them want to get him. So all kinds of stories unfolding, weren't there?
I loved it. Yeah. I thought of the 2011 World Series with Nelson Cruz where the Rangers are ready to win the World Series and would Freeze hit the ball to right and Cruz couldn't handle it, and all after that, the Cardinals came back and won a World Series. So Garcia looked like he got tangled up with the wall a little bit. His feet got tangled up, and it was just one of those moments. You want to get away, you know, one of those moments. And LaStella just is a tough out. Bruce, these guys 1 through 8, they are a tough out. And I said the first five last night. This is Wade, who's got thunder in his bat. I mean, this guy comes through with hits when you need it. And he almost hit a home run last night. Did you see the ball he hit last night that almost went out?
Yeah. I mean, he's not just coming through. He's just crushing the ball, all these late-night hits. That one and the single was absolutely crushed. He's just so ready, you know, for the moment, which seems to characterize the whole team.
No, the one he hit down the right field line was just gone. I mean, just gone. It just turned foul. I thought it was going to hit the foul pole. But, you know, you look at Wade and Belt and Posey and Crawford and Bryant last night, 12 for 26, 7 runs scored, 8 of the 9, what did they score, 9 runs last night, 8 RBIs, and the 2 homers for Belt. And I'll tell you something. I had a lot of fun watching Pence interview Belt. I thought that was terrific.
Oh, Pence is loving that assignment, and he's maybe a little bit over the top enthusiastic, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it's so great to see him. He's got Greg Papa bouncing around the room like a little kid. those guys have so much fun together. Papa's really feeding off his energy, but you know, when it gets right down to it, Pence asks really good questions and he makes really good points. Super bright.
And they
guy.
Respond to him. See, that's
the
key.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. They're ready to respond to him, first of all, and then they absolutely come through.
Yeah, because so many times you just get a cliche answer, which we've commented on the show. But you can't do that with Pence, and you loosen up. And I thought Belt was charming last night. I thought he really did a nice job.
Definitely. We see that side of him in the days when we could go into the locker rooms routinely. You know, maybe it would take a while, but that good humor and warm-hearted side of him would come out, and it's just, you get a little bit of insight into the character of the guy. and why he's done what he has.
Well, and another big win in Cueto today, and he's got to feel it. He's got to say, look, I've got to put the team on my back a little bit and not get knocked out early and give him six innings, I hope, or maybe seven, and save the bullpen. You know, that's up to him. And then Brett Anderson on the other side is a pitch-to-contact guy who generally goes five innings. So who knows what's going to happen today? What do you think about today?
I'd like to see Cueto go nine on 103 pitches.
Wouldn't that be something?
You know he's capable of doing it. I mean, let's just say that if he's going good, I would bet that Kapler leaves him in, maybe not for nine, but for seven or eight. Who knows? That's what they need, and that would be terrific. Brett Anderson, you know, I would think the Giants would knock him around a little bit. You never know. The Brewers' pitching staff has been really, really good. They're feeding off each other, and Burns and Woodruff, and they've got an awful lot going for them. What they didn't have going for them last night was their bullpen aces. You know, Devin Williams had the night off, and Hader's on the COVID list, so that hurt him a little bit. But for Brett Anderson, I think I don't know. I look for a big day from. I didn't even know who's in the lineup. Who would know? Maybe even Darren Ruff has a big day.
Well, you know, I said, boy, don't sit Belt. I mean, don't sit him, you know, but you watch. Ruff and Slater and Casale and Solano will be in there today. But that's the way they roll, and they're doing a great job with it, and they're in first place. Dodgers ended up winning a game last night. Trey Turner played. Bellinger, believe it or not, hit a home run. They got decent bullpen last night, so they beat the Angels, and the Padres won. But I'll tell you, the Cincinnati Reds, we talked about this last week, you know, you turn around, who are those guys? They're not going away. And Castellanos hit a home run last night. They're killing the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they have, like, another 10 games with the Pirates. So the Reds are a team to watch.
I tell you, it's a good thing the Giants have a 10-game lead over them, which is huge. It's probably insurmountable for the Reds, but when you watch them, they're so dangerous. And Castellano and Votto and Jonathan India and Suarez, and they hit the heck out of the ball. Their pitching's been good, and you know they're nine games over 500, I think, something like that. They're having a postseason kind of schedule. Unfortunately, the National League West is kind of dominating that, but they're creeping up on the Padres a little bit. So who knows?
Two and a half.
Yeah.
Two and a half behind this, and they're six behind the Brewers. And I'm telling you, look at the schedule. Yeah. You know, they got a lot of Pittsburgh Pirates and Cubs left for the Reds. And that's going to
get in.
Yeah, because even in the West, you know, Colorado is playing much better ball, much better ball. And they win at home. And Arizona's starting to, you know, play, you know, they're not losing 8 out of 10. They're losing, you know, 6 out of 10.
7 out of 10.
Right. So they're getting a little bit better. So the West is, you know, is not so quite so simple. So you get one of these teams in the Central, like Cincinnati, that just beats up on the bad teams in their division. And all of a sudden, you know, you got to – but that's what baseball's all about. That's what it's all about. Hey, one thing I wanted to mention, last Thursday, August 5th, was the 100th anniversary of the first baseball radio broadcast on KDKA in Pittsburgh and the Phillies. Harold Arlen did it. He had a telephone that he turned into a rudimentary microphone. But that was the first broadcast, and look where the evolution took us about baseball. So 100 years ago, and that's not that long, but the first baseball broadcast. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's just been such a big part of our lives. And then the funny part is that when radio got to be more and more popular in this country, a lot of teams did not want to broadcast all of their games because they felt that it would hurt attendance, when in fact it turned out to be, you know, really just the opposite for a lot of teams. And you know, and I grew up in L.A., and what Vin Scully was providing over the radio was something you wanted to go see in person, and maybe you bring your transistor radio with you so you can hear him while you're watching. But just to show you how teams were backing off of this, when Joe DiMaggio, as he was unveiling his 56 game hit streak, those games were not on New York radio. Mm. You imagine?
Amazing. Yeah. They worried that this would take away from people going, and they did the same thing with TV. They didn't want TV because they felt people wouldn't go to the park.
Yeah. None of his at-bats were broadcast on a New York station. That's wow. That's just astounding.
Well, look where it's gone. And, you know, it's funny. I bring it up for this reason. You know, we do the contest today, you know, guess the score of the game for dinner at Original Joe's. And I like to ask people where they're listening, just to get an idea where people are listening today. Bruce, we've got people listening all over Northern California. I mean, we've got Livermore, Turlock, Reedley, the Central Valley. We've got Chico. We've got Pittsburgh. We've got people in New York, Lafayette, Minneapolis, Seattle on a flight home, Rockland, Lake Tahoe, and Mammoth Lake. And what it is, it's baseball on the radio, essentially. Whether you have a radio or you listen on the internet, you're getting the story from announcers who tell that story, and that's the beauty of baseball on the radio.
Yeah, and we're so lucky here in the Bay Area to have, you know, John Miller and Fleming and, you know, Kuiper to drop in there. And then just the other day, I always try to watch the games on TV. I'm like 100%, but I was on a long drive and I turned on the game and I didn't realize that Doug Greenwald had been handed this four-game assignment. And I'm like, oh, this is just the best. I really, it was like listening to Hank in a little bit, if anybody's had this experience. But I just hear from a lot of folks who are sort of out a little out of the region, and maybe they don't get the telecast, and they say, you know, it really doesn't matter, because the baseball on the radio has been such a big part of my life, my whole life, and I just so look forward to that. And you can, you know, a good broadcaster will paint the picture for you, and you can just take it from there. You can put the diamond in your head and follow the ball and use your imagination a little bit. And you know, as I say, what we've been lucky for so many years with the Giants since they've been here in San Francisco, and before that, I mean, they've had terrific broadcasters that really, really bring it home.
Well, you've got people, Giant fans all over the world. I mean, we got notes here from Scotland, from the Philippines, Mammoth Lakes. you know, it's incredible to me the breadth of this station, whether it's through streaming or just people listening to it, however they get it. But it is amazing. And I'm glad that we have it. I'm glad we have it. Hey, did you follow the Olympics at all? Did you follow for the base? What'd you think?
Like crazy, yeah. I taped so many things. I couldn't get around to everything, and I'm taping baseball every day too. But and staying up late till I can't even keep my eyes open. But I was totally glued to the softball, which was great. You know, the track and field, that goes without saying. The gymnastics, the Simone Biles story, and the USA baseball team was pretty compelling. It came to a halt with Japan beat them in the final game, but they were a fun story. That kid Nick Allen, the A's shortstop prospect, mm-hmm. is really good. He's good. He's a good all-around player that I think is going to have a good big league career. And you know, Eddie Alvarez was in there. This is a guy that won a medal in speed skating in the Winter Olympics. But his first love was baseball, and he managed to climb up all the way into the big leagues. He got in there with Miami, and he might get back. So there was so much stuff, but I love the Olympics, despite all the
– What happened to boxing? Was it boxing?
I don't know. I never watched any of that. I used to watch Olympic boxing, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they have it anymore, and I think baseball is getting knocked out in favor of breakdancing or something for the next...
competitive eating is pretty big, too, so watch out for that.
Yeah. Baseball, I think they're knocking it out in the next Olympics.
COVID.
Bruce, COVID all over baseball. We haven't had the drama of last year of changing, you know, games and that kind of stuff. But you see Anthony Rizzo today on the COVID IL for the Yankees, and he's been fabulous since they brought him over.
Oh, man, that guy should be a Yankee the rest of his career. He is so good and such a good hitter, good presence on the team. But, yeah, it's disheartening. But I guess the difference this year and last is that you hear about these individual cases. You know, Yelich had it, Trey Turner had it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Rizzo, but it's not taking a whole team down.
Right.
Because, you know, so many people are vaccinated and, you know, they'll get it. I've had a couple of close friends who are fully vaccinated who test positive and they don't feel so good for a few days. And, you know, heaven help them, they'll get better. My friends have, but not everyone does. But it hasn't taken down the sport. It's just created a lot of problems, day-to-day stuff, and it's ongoing. It's certainly far from over.
No, Mattingly, the manager, got it. Bud Black got it for Colorado. And now Rizzo has got it here. And look, and the Brewers, what happened to Christian Yelich, Bruce? This Christian Yelich was going to be the next superstar, and he hasn't done anything. Now he's coming back from COVID again, but you watch him at the plate, he's a different hitter.
Well, I don't know if we're going to be able to judge him for the rest of this year, depending on what the COVID does to him, whether it leaves him sort of generally weak or whatever. But, you know, with a clear body and mind, I have no worries about Yelich. He's been way too good of a hitter for too long. Maybe there's something going on with him that we don't know about, but he's too good to stay down for my money. And they're going to need him with the Reds coming on like they are.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. He's a big part of what they're doing. But that thunder in his bat, it's just people deal with him now, even before the COVID was going on. Yeah, I agree with you on Cueto. You know, as a pitcher, you know what your bullpen looks like. Mm-hmm. And the Brewers don't hit the ball that well. And maybe he could give them a good game today. This is going to be fun to watch this, especially knowing how Kapler likes to use the bullpen, likes to use the bench. And he's going to, you know, we're watching a team that is evolving, that will be a playoff team, that's going to be a very interesting playoff team, because they're not going to change. It's like Tampa Bay. When you get there, you play the way you played during the season, and the Giants are going to play the playoffs just like they play the games now.
As well they should. It's proven to be the way to go, and it will be interesting today. I'm not sure Kapler's going to use Rogers or Leon or Garcia or McGee. They've all worked 3 days in a row. That four is a little too much to ask. So, they really need a good outing from Cueto, and they still got some guys out there that can get him through it. So, it will be interesting to see if it's sort of a wild maybe 5-4 up and down game, and they really need to close it out, and who would be out there for that? So, we'll see.
Tony Watson. That would be my choice.
Yeah, probably Watson, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of historical notes for August the 8th. 1973, the great Cha-Cha, Orlando Cepeda, is the DH for the Red Sox, the first DH for the Sox, and against Kansas City. And I love this about Cepeda, 4 doubles in one game. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know that he could barely run at that point, so you know they were all ropes. They had to be to get him to second, and he drove in 6 runs. He had a 3-run double and an RBI double later, and he was just going crazy all day. He chased Splittorff out of there. This was in Kansas City. I love the Red Sox lineup that day. It goes Tommy Harper, Luis Aparicio, Reggie Smith, Yaz, the original Yaz, and Cepeda.
Wow.
He's hitting fifth. As much as I dislike the DH, in that particular instance, you know, he looked like he was done after 71 a couple years earlier. He had knee surgery after the season. He barely got through 72. He got traded from the Atlanta to the A's, oddly, for Denny McClain. How about that? Cepeda for McClain.
Wow.
That would have been a heck of a deal in 68.
Really?
Yeah, so the A's have him, but he pinch hit 3 times, and they shut him down, and they released him, and the DH saved him. And he played 142 games for the Sox and never once in the field. But he had a big year, and, you know, just as much as we love the guy, it's so great that he had a season like that at the end of his career, and this really let everybody know what an incredibly pure hitter he was.
Well, I love the fact that he had the 4 doubles, and you point out it. Everyone had to be just crushed.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't run, and it's like McCovey. McCovey on his debut, he hit 4 balls off the wall.
Oh, my goodness.
2 turned into triples. 2 were singles because he hit them so hard that they came back to the infield. And, they were singles, so it reminded me of that a little bit. But I'm glad that we could acknowledge Orlando. Here's another one. I love this one. 1933, William Veeck. Now, we think of Bill Veeck, of course, the great showman and all that, but his father was the president of the Chicago Cubs. He's a former sports writer. And in 1933, he said, you know something? We need interleague play. Well, the American League said, nah, I don't think so. We have all the stars, and we don't need you. Well, interleague play, of course, came in 64 years later, but that was
64 short years later.
Yeah, that was the idea in 1933. How about that?
Yeah, I wasn't really aware of Bill Veeck's dad. I mean, you know, the son was so successful and flamboyant and visible and larger than life kind of guy. But his dad was just astounding, really running the Chicago Cubs as the president of the team, you know, during years when they had a 10-year run where they were in the World Series four times, 1929 to 1938, and he built those teams, you know, with Rogers Hornsby and Hack Wilson and Stan Hack and everybody else. He hired Joe McCarthy out of the minor leagues to manage the Cubs. He was there for 5 years before he goes on to the Yanks and becomes one of the great managers. He was just a really Vec was a super bright guy. He was one of those guys who wanted the Cubs. He wanted them on the radio as much as possible, and it really worked to their attendance. He had weekly games where women were allowed in free. That's and they right. really took advantage of it. He was a driving force behind the All-Star game. It was right there in Chicago in 33. So many things. And I came across this story. Regrettably, he died much too early. He was 56. He died of leukemia. He probably would be saved today, but in those days there was no cure for that. So he's kind of on his deathbed, and about the only stuff he can get down into his system was wine and champagne. So Bill Vec, the great Bill Vec, arranged to have he contacted the Capone family. And they delivered two cases of French champagne to Vec Sr. with a note, compliments of Al Capone.
Wow.
How about that?
Al Capone was a big fan. Remember the pictures they have of him at Wrigley sitting in, you know, by the rail? And, of course, Judge Landis saw that and went crazy. And, you know, and basically banned him from the park. But, yeah, that's Bill Vec, Bill Vec Sr.
Yeah, that's Bill Vec. Yeah, that's Vince's classic story.
Yeah, he was a big deal. Boy, this is fun. All right, this is going to be a good day today. Who knows what's going to happen in this game today? This is what baseball's all about. But Giants, Bruce, they got 70 wins already.
It's just, you know, you wake up and you go, is there a Giants game today? Yes, thank goodness. You know, and you kind of build your day around it, and it's so great. I have to say, as much as we miss Dwayne Kuiper, and you can't replace him, he's one of the greatest. He is the best play-by-play man ever as a former player. But I really think they've done a good job with John in, coming in there and Fleming and, you know, Sean Estes. JT Snow was good. You know, the broadcast hums along. As I say, you can't replace Kipe, but I think Kipe would tell you that he's enjoying watching these guys soldier on.
Yeah, I'm glad we have Doug in there too.
Absolutely. That's so much fun. Yeah.
You know, just to hear his voice, and it's nice when he starts stories like Hank. You know, there's always that droll humor of Hank. I love Hank.
Yeah, Hank, well, I hope he's getting a good four-game run here, so I hope you know, somebody pays attention, and he's not going to get a job here. The booths are loaded with great ones, but somewhere, I tell you, some of the people I hear around the big leagues, they should Doug Greenwald could move ahead of them like in a heartbeat.
You know, it's funny as we wrap it up. You know, two guys talking ball. This is us. I've listened on the MLB app to Euchre. The last couple of days. Bruce, I love Euchre. I'm telling Bruce, there's a game going on, and he's got a whole other thing going on around the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got into the salaries of soccer players last night in the middle of the inning. You know how, Messi makes $163 million per year. You know, and they were talking, so they said to Euchre, what would you do if you were making $163 million? He said, I'd hire Messi as my driver. That's what he said. I mean, the guy he's still got it. It's incredible.
Yeah, he tells that story about how he was offered $5,000 to sign, and the family goes, I don't know, my dad didn't have that kind of cash.
I love it. I love it. Very good. Hey, enjoy the day today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. What a pleasure on Sunday morning. Hey, a very special guest coming up next, Dr. Donna Halper. She is a leading media historian in the country, and she's going to talk about this evolution of baseball. We'll celebrate this 100th anniversary of baseball on the radio. We've got people listening, baking in Lodi. We've got the comic books being sold in Susan City. We've got people all over the world listening to the show today. How did it all happen? KDKA 100 years ago. That's where it all started. And Donna Halper will tell us that story right after this on KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.